Please listen carefully.
And now, live from the attic that smells like a basement in McKinney, Texas, it's the Assuming Positions Podcast, featuring two guys high-fiving with words, Kevin and Mikey.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Assuming Positions Podcast. Kevin over here.
And Mikey over here.
And today we're doing a roundtable at a roundtable in person because we're in Texas and everything's been lifted. Yay!
For the first time in a long time.
We are doing the back half of our WandaVision recap, review, and general chat. And because it is an MCU property, we have brought in the biggest MCU fan in the Assuming Positions world.
That we know, yes.
That we know. And that is our producer, Not Scott. Not Scott, how you doing?
I am well. Pleasure to be with you. It's good to be with you.
Yeah, if any of you are long-term fans of our show, and why wouldn't you be? Scott's been on many times when we've done MCU stuff. He at a convention and he went over all the stuff that's coming. And so we thought we'd bring him in because WandaVision, the end of it was big, huge, shook fandom.
It is interesting you say what's coming, because when we did that, it was like a year and a half or so ago.
Before the dark times,
before the Empire.
But you're our comic book nerd friend, and there's so many questions. There's so much info in the back half of WandaVision that we had to bring you in to chat about it.
I have no answers, but I can certainly make some stuff up.
There you go.
Where we left off was these are 9 episodes, so we kind of did 4.5 last time.
Yep.
So we had left off halfway through the 5th episode.
Yeah,
halfway through the 5th episode. Math!
There you go.
Math is hard.
We hinted at some spoilers for the 5th episode, but now is the time, and now is your spoiler alert warning. We are going to be talking about everything from episode 5 to the finale, but we did sort of tease something in episode 5 when we left off on our midpoint, but now we'll be getting into it.
Yeah, the thing we teased was the big ending where someone showed up at the door.
Ding dong.
And it was her brother Pietro, but the fun twist
was that
it was the Quicksilver from the other cinematic universe.
Evan Peters, I believe, is the actor.
Evan Peters from the Fox X-Men series, as opposed to, he has 3 names, whoever played Quicksilver in the Avengers series that actually gets shot and is a real
Pietro person. Is the character's name.
Yes, but he shows up. We have Pietro, but it's the Pietro from a multiverse. It's Pietro from a different universe. It's not the actor we know.
Or is it? It's not. Now, I would be willing, because we all know it's not really Pietro.
Not yet. We'll find out later.
Oh, we can't talk about it yet.
We'll talk about it when we get there.
But episode 5, this is the family ties episode. This is the growing pains episode. We're still sticking with the sitcom theme a little bit that we talked about for the first 4 episodes. And I believe it's the house, the set straight ripped from Family Ties. I wasn't a big Family Ties fan. So I'm not super familiar with it, but I think it's the same stained glass window, the same watercolor painting in the intro. And
oh, absolutely. Yes, yeah. It was definitely the Family Ties, the Keaton residence there as we were. Yeah, Family Ties was a big deal in my life. Kevin, was that in the appointment watching when you were growing up as a kid?
100%.
Oh, yeah. Family Ties was big time.
Michael J. Fox.
There you go.
There was some growing pain stuff in there, too, though, yep. It seemed like. So it's all kind of funny that, especially when we start getting into this era and into the 90s and stuff, mm-hmm. that this has like the sister of 2 of the most iconic kids who are
in all of sitcom history.
I don't know. There's a weird irony. It's like your sisters were in the Family Matters.
Sisters, correct?
Full House.
Family Matters was a spinoff of Full House.
It was. But they even made a reference to Full House in the intro song. Like, they show them picnicking in the, like, San Francisco park, which is just like, oh, that's Full House. And it's weird that, like, there's circles in the show and there's circles in real life. The multiverses are clashing. But the main twist of episode 5, Pietro shows up. That's the big twist. But also, Wanda has twins now, and they're growing at magical ages. They start out as babies, and then they grow up and become 5. They grow up and become 10. It's crazy.
So episode 6, the Halloween spooktacular.
Yes.
Raise your hand if that was one of your favorite episodes amongst us. Absolutely.
Mikey's raising his hand.
And what I love about that particular episode is the personification of everything I love about the MCU.
Okay.
It has such a sense of self, and it'll make fun of itself. And the costumes that they chose to put Vision and Scarlet Witch in, the homage outfits from the original character creation, but they do it in a very loving fan service kind of a way of the campy Halloween costume. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. It was a beautiful scene, beautiful homage. I love that whole episode, and I love how they brought in that old aesthetic, made it relevant, and made it fit into the new, whatever the word is I'm looking for here.
The new universe, absolutely. I mean, it's the old classic costumes. It's the one we love, and having Halloween be the framework of it, I mean, that's just perfect writing. That's perfect creation. Thumbs up to the people that thought that out and planned it out.
Absolutely.
Now, outside of what's going on in the Hex,
yes,
as Darcy dubbed it, we're back at the sword base, and this is where the real tensions first start between Monica Rambeau and Director Hayward. And this is where we get the, hey, she was a terrorist, and hey, she did all these bad things, and hey, she needs to be taken out.
Yeah, take her out. We're going to fire a missile at her or just take her down. Like, this is no longer an experiment or observation. We have a goal. We need to take Wanda down.
And Monica Rambeau's, this is not what my mother envisioned this thing to be. We get head bumpings.
But that's the best. We get the B team. It's Monica Rambeau. It's Jimmy Woo, who we celebrated in our first half of this wrap-up.
He figured out the magic trick.
He did. Oh, sleight of hand Jimmy Woo. He's the best. And Darcy Lewis, like you're saying, yeah.
But we have the direct connection. Just to remind you, where Hayward tells Monica Rambeau she can't be objective because of her connections to the Avengers.
Oh, that's true.
And that connection being Captain Marvel.
Your favorite.
She is your favorite, isn't she?
Well, Brie Larson.
Yeah. I would watch her eat cereal, and I have on her YouTube channel.
Yeah, she's streaming a whole bunch. But hey, if Monica Rambeau is her successor, I like that actress just as much. She does a great job, and being like the outside of the Hex person, wonderful. Another point of trivia about Monica Rambeau is that while they're trying to figure out the plan to try and stop Hayward, because now Monica, Darcy, and Jimmy are the good guys, and Hayward's now the bad guys, they finally established that. Monica Rambeau's like, I got to call my aerospace engineer friend. And I was like, oh, they're bringing Fantastic Four in here. But no.
But no.
I thought it was going to be a fun Easter egg. Didn't pay out, but still fun to hear. I was like, oh, it's going to be Reed Richards. It's going to be great.
So this episode got kind of creepy and Stranger Things-y in it, too, because Vision is starting to get suspicious about what's going on in the world that he's in.
Yes.
And well, he's more than suspicious. He already did the thing where he kind of took away the, I don't know what you want to call it,
the blinders fellow denizen of Westview.
Right. So now he's going to do some investigating. So he says, I'm part of the neighborhood watch during trick or treating, so I have to go off and watch the neighborhood. And he starts heading like away from their house and out far out. And then we start getting this, it's so creepy and weird. It's good for a Halloween episode, you know. He's there, and the people that woman's trying to put up the decoration just, right?
And repeating
it. She's like stuck in a
and
loop.
And then there's a tear coming down. Ah, it's so creepy.
But like the classic costumes coming back as Halloween costumes, like Scotty was saying, like the creepiness factor fits perfectly because it's in Halloween. Also, this is the Malcolm in the Middle episode, so it's 90s and pretty much anything goes. So like having Vision go out to the edge of the Hex, Wanda's magic limits, and seeing like there's just zombie people. It's like that. This was our first instance of something strange in Westview. That's so weird. What's happening?
We had multiple incidents. In fact, one of my favorite moments, and again, I think you guys talked about it on the last podcast, the first two or three episodes, I think we were all like, what is going on here? And nothing's happening.
Yes.
But I think it was maybe episode 4 when they were in the Brady house, when there's this brief moment when Vision comes in the door and he's gray, dead, divot in the forehead Vision.
Oh, yeah, when you get to see... Yeah.
When you get to see, like, what he really looks like. And for me, it was the first moment of, oh, my gosh, this is all in Wanda's head. It's all, well, turns out she's really powerful witch and can make all kinds of things happen. But do y'all think she was actually reanimating the Vision corpse? Because she broke in and she stole all his parts.
We think she stole all his parts.
We do get that scene where, like, they flash back, but
that was all Hayward's doing, though.
It was, and it was all set up, but as far, like, I think once we get to episode 5 and 6, like we're talking about, we get hints, like, the boys are growing, and we've seen dead Vision, and Pietro shows up, and he starts breaking the fourth wall. I think we're getting hints that, like, the magic that Wanda created is sort of out of her control. Like, things are happening that she's not in control of, and it's even freaking her out. And as the audience member, it's like, it's freaking me out too. What's going on?
Yeah, we have this. Vision has a run-in with the neighbor lady. She's parked near the perimeter.
Yep, just, Agnes is in her car.
She's just sitting there. And he can touch people's heads and take away their spell on them.
Like blinders, like, yeah, Scotty's saying.
The blinders. We'll call it the blinders. And she's like, oh, hey, you're that Avenger. And he's like, what the heck are you talking about? I don't know what's going on. And then he sees, like, the edge of the hex, and he's like, I think I'm going to take a walk out there. And he tries to leave. And
oh, so crazy.
And then he starts, like, becoming pixelated and ripping apart. It was kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's like he gets caught in a hurricane, forcing him back in there and tearing him apart. That happened to me one time.
That's what we're saying is, like, we're getting hints that Vision is a creation that Wanda made because this is the hex and this is all her magic. But Vision tries to escape, and it's weird. It's Wanda's magic that's out of her control, and it's an element of it that's trying to break free from the magic that she created, and he starts evaporating, and, like, I guess he can only exist in the hex.
And then she makes it bigger and turns the sword camp into a circus.
That was a little on the nose, but I kind of loved it.
I'm absolutely with you. Kind of loved it. I love Kat Dennings.
Oh, she's chained. She's chained up there, and she's like, oh, crap, oh, crap, oh, crap. They did a cutoff F-bomb, I believe.
They did. Yeah, because Sword, being the military circus that it is, tried to shoot Vision as he was trying to come out and be like, people need help. And they're like, oh, it's a bad guy. Let's put all our guns on him. And it's like, no, wait, you're wrong in this. And they chained Darcy up to the truck, and Wanda saves the day by going full magic-y witch and extending the border and turning it all into a circus.
Like crazy. They would have had to run from it.
Most of them didn't survive because they got turned into, like, strong men. And
carnies.
Carnies.
Very small hands.
Small hands. Smells like cabbage. But that was a nice touch. It was fun seeing Sword being turned into a circus, because now we know that Hayward and Sword are the bad guys. Like, they're sort of the antagonist, at least for the next couple episodes. They're trying to bomb Wanda.
They're like the new S.H.I.E.L.D.
Ooh.
With 50% less Hydra.
Okay, here's a comic book nerd question. Is there any sort of Hydra relation to Sword that we know of or history of?
No, Sword was created in response to S.H.I.E.L.D. having been infiltrated by Hydra.
Okay.
Yeah, Sword is it's in the comic books, but it's since the MCU's inception. Yeah, that's not an old timey thing. Like,
it's new.
Back in my day, we didn't have S.H.I.E.L.D. All we had was Sword.
But S.H.I.E.L.D. and Sword, they go so well together. I have one more Easter egg for the Halloween episode before we get into the next episode, but I just thought this was hilarious and I have to bring it up. I think this is intentional, but if not, even better. So right when the episode starts out, when Wanda takes the kids trick-or-treating and Pietro's there and he's breaking the fourth wall and being like, Wanda, what's the deal? Why are you creating this world? And she's like, what? I'm creating this world. It's like, yeah, your dead husband can't die twice. She's like, how do you know that? Oh, such great scenes between the two of them. But what's funny is in the dialogue, they say the word kick-ass like 3 or 4 times. Like the boys bring it up. Yeah. Billy and Tommy bring it up. They're like, oh, yeah, it'll be kick-ass. And Wanda's like, kick-ass? It's like, yeah, kick-ass. And Pietro's like, yeah, kick-ass. It's like, why are they saying that so much? Here's the Easter egg.
Well, that's a superhero movie.
It's a superhero movie starring both Quicksilvers, Evan Peters.
Oh, and the other guy? Seriously?
And Taylor Johnson. Both the Quicksilvers are in Kick-Ass. And I think they...
Are you serious?
I think they're making a nod to, like, hey, Kick-Ass has both Quicksilvers. Isn't that fun?
That is crazy.
Easter egg, probably random, but I have it in my notes and
I'm going to Google box that later and see if you can verify that.
It'll keep you busy.
That's amazing if it's true. That's awesome. Did not know that.
Yeah. But like Kevin was saying, the episode, towards the end of this episode, we do get the encounter with Agnes. She's in her car. He takes off the blinders, starts figuring out that something's not right in Rescue.
Breaking the fourth wall. So we're to the Modern Family episode.
Yeah. After Vision tries to escape and doesn't, because Wanda saves him, turns everything into a circus, and Vision comes back. But now we're advancing in the sitcom era of the timeline. They're still sticking with the sitcom.
The aughts.
I think this is the last sitcom episode, maybe?
Yeah, I think it is.
Now they're referencing The Office and Modern Family, yeah. And the zoom-ins on the beats of the jokes. It's weird how good they get the sitcom bits for each era.
I mean, they even have Vision at one point do a look at the camera, like in The Office.
Oh, yeah, the camera interview, yeah. That's outside of whatever the narrative is. Best part about that is Vision's like, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
I got to get back to it.
The whole titles of the episodes, I think, incredibly clever, very great. Gives you a real idea, really in hindsight when you go back and previously on, that's the entire origin story. By the way, who knew we were getting more of an origin story?
Oh, I didn't.
We all thought we had enough Scarlet Witch origin story, but turns out, no, not really.
I think just to tangent off that, I think that was my problem, because in our first midpoint episode talking about WandaVision, it took me a while to get on board, and I didn't realize what they were doing. Are they just playing with sitcoms? Are we just getting Wanda and Vision having adventures? That's kind of my expectation going into it. But come to find out, we do get that origin story. Previously on WandaVision, which is the great subtitle. But before that, just to see everything breaking down, for the first four episodes, we thought, this is Wanda's vision. She's setting up sitcoms, she's doing all this stuff. But now in the Office Modern Family episode, the controllers are going haywire. The house is changing. The boys are changing. Vision's going off on a quest. He's off on his own with Darcy Lewis doing that side interview. Things are going out of control. So, it was at that point I was like, I don't know where this story is going. It's not where I thought it was going, but I'm super interested to see where they go from here.
Yeah, Wanda's basically having a nervous breakdown, and it's yeah. It's like breaking the fourth wall, and Wanda's breaking down as well.
Yeah, but they do the fun 90s sitcom of, it's just a case of the Mondays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Vision pulls Darcy's blinders off, because she literally becomes once you get in the hex as a regular person, you have a character and a storyline and a backstory and all kinds of stuff. So
yep.
But Vision's able to take the blinders off, and then Darcy kind of informs Vision on who he is. And it's,
yeah, you were part of the Avengers and you died, and there's this whole history that I know about that you seem to not know about.
So he's doing a Jim from The Office look at the camera. What?
And they're getting stuck at stoplights, and there's construction, and they're
oh yeah, they couldn't make it back in. They kept getting stopped.
Because that's the magic. The magic was preventing them.
Well, we find out who's preventing them, actually, later on in the next episode. At the end of this episode, but there's an important thing that happens in this episode. You can't sleep on it. And it's Monica Rambeau decides, I'm going back in there.
She meets her aerospace engineer friend that's not from the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, boo, right.
But
she calls in people in S.W.O.R.D. who are loyal to her mother and her, and not Director Hayward.
Yep. But she gets a souped up super S.W.O.R.D. tank.
Yeah.
To go back into the hex.
And
still doesn't work out very well.
No, it doesn't want to go in. So she just jumps in herself. And in doing so, something happens to her DNA.
She splits apart, and there's four Monica Rambos, and there's a whole bunch of voices talking again. And it's just wop, 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 your cells are being edited on a molecular level.
And this is, we're seeing the origin story of a future MCU character that we're not sure who it is yet.
Who do you think it is, Scotty?
Well, there's one of two names.
Oh, okay.
It's either Photon or it's Spectrum.
Yep, the one I've heard most is Spectrum, but yeah.
Well, Photon is her mom's call sign when she flies with Carol Danvers. If you look on her airplane back in Captain Marvel.
That's right.
Her name is Photon, and in all the the Google box look I did this week, there was references to her becoming Spectrum, which is this electromagnetic thing. And then there's Photon, who, I don't know, I found it in equal parts that that's who she's becoming.
I got you.
But yeah, Kevin's the nail on the head. That is an absolute forthcoming Marvel character. I don't know. What do y'all think her name's going to be? Spectrum? Photon? Who's it going to be?
I don't even know. I was confused at first because Monica Rambeau has been Miss Marvel too.
Yes.
In the comics.
That's where I thought it was going.
But
I thought she was going to be Miss Marvel.
Yeah, but we found out that Miss Marvel is going to be some Indian American girl.
Yeah, some young teenager.
Yeah.
They're going with the newest run of the comic book,
right,
which sort of refreshed it.
Yeah. So that's how they get you. Like we've said before on the pod a bunch of times, is that they'll literally be running multiple versions of a superhero at the same time across different titles. And even before that, there's been other versions going back to when they were first made.
Yep.
Back in the 60s or even, yep, before, depending on some of these things. So there's so much to pull from for the MCU, and we don't know which one they're going to go with. So you can make educated guesses.
Yep.
And that's what the internet's good at doing, sort of. Also wild, crazy guesses. But I think I kind of like where you're coming from, Scott. If Photon was the mother's call sign, it seems like they do everything on purpose. Like we've said before, it's amazing to me when, now that we've got Disney Plus and you can go back and look at all these movies and you go back and watch the first Iron Man. And it's like, were you guys seriously thinking about all of this stuff?
Yeah, was it planned out 20 years ago?
Because it seems like it is.
When the guy when the guy is still hurt from Obadiah Stane yelling at him in Spider-Man Far From Home, and he yells at him in the original Iron Man.
Right. You see, I mean, it's crazy. So I'm willing to bet Scott's right, because they don't do stuff like that for no reason. They put that call sign on her plane for a reason.
Oh, yeah. They do everything with a purpose, for sure.
And we're at such a point in the Marvel Universe that, I mean, Iron Man, that first movie came out in 2011. There have been a lot more comic book stories that have been written since then.
I got
which,
you.
Sadly, is a little out of my wheelhouse. Mine's mostly from 90s and early aughts. But there's been so many stories that I think the MCU is really starting to draw on a lot of the newer stories that have come around since 2012. The Captain Marvel story that I think we're thinking of, Kevin, with the, I want to say she's from Pakistan, is the young lady who becomes Miss Marvel. That was like a 2012, 2013, 14 story, something like that.
That's super new, yeah. That's fresh.
Yeah, well, Sword's new, too. Sword was created by Joss Whedon. Rest in peace.
And I'm telling you, all these guys, Kevin Smith, Joss Whedon, all the JJ, they all had a swim through writing comic books.
Yeah.
In the aughts and the early teens.
And that's why there's so many routes for speculation, is because everybody's had a different storyline and a take on it. It's like, which one are they pulling from? Because, like, based just off internet research, I've seen references that the show pulls from the House of M series that I haven't read, but apparently is deep Scarlet Witch lore. I vote for Spectrum as far as Monica Rambeau goes, because everybody's, like, is pulling up references to, like, her sword uniform kind of looks like Spectrum's uniform. So there's that angle. Are they doing it visually, like cluing us in, or are they doing it with the dialogue or blue eyes? I don't know.
Crazy. I love it. I love them. That just gives us so much to chew on and podcast about.
Oh, it's perfect.
Speaking of perfect podcast banter, what's up with Vision? He's not back, but is he coming back? Is he back?
We'll get there. We'll get there.
No, I want to talk about it now.
No, we'll get there. So at the end of breaking the fourth wall is when really the show becomes not about crazy sitcom anymore.
Yes.
Really. This is where it gets very, I keep saying Stranger Things. I don't know why. But I mean, you got the craziness this is where we find out that Agnes isn't Agnes at all.
Yep.
And we find out that Agnes is another old character from back in the Marvel days.
Agatha Harkness.
Agatha Harkness, who in various versions has either been a mentor to Scarlet Witch or a villain to Scarlet Witch,
depending on which storyline you follow.
Yes. And in this one, we find out she's a villain, and it was her all along.
Agatha all along. Best theme song so far.
That thing went like crazy on like the iTunes store and stuff. It was nuts.
What?
The internet.
They actually released that as a song?
The internet went crazy with it. The internet went cuckoo with it. Much to Catherine Hahn, who's the actress who does Agatha, right?
Right.
Yep.
She was like, what is happening right now?
And they did the silly reveal, like she's the fourth wall narrator behind the camera because we're doing The Office and Modern Family, but she's in the chair, and she's the one that killed the dog, and also it goes back, and she's the one that like sawed into the neighbor's fence, and she's the one that like changed things in Wanda's house, and it was Agatha all along.
It was Agatha all along.
So she was the one who's preventing Vision and Darcy from getting to where they needed to go.
Yep. It wasn't just construction and weird traffic and stoplights.
And kids going across the street. Yeah, it was obviously they were being stopped, but you're sitting there going like, why is Wanda doing that? And Wanda wasn't doing that.
It was Agatha.
It was Agatha. But that also, like, I was wondering, why is the hex going out of control? Why are there things that Wanda isn't in control of if this is the universe that she created? So that was a nice little tie-in. Like, great writing, great logic.
Just when you start to figure things out.
Yeah. So Agatha's kidnapped her kids.
Yep.
And has them in the basement somewhere. And in the basement, she's got these runes up, which renders Wanda's powers useless.
Her protection runes.
Yeah, she's like, only the witch. And she's like, you're a witch. And Wanda's like, what are you talking about? And we find out that basically Agatha was drawn there because of Wanda using her powers.
Okay.
Did that come across to you?
That was going
to
be one of my questions that I had because I didn't have this in my notes.
Okay.
I don't know how Agatha shows up.
She shows up because, so as far as I can tell, Wanda has, so we're going to go use some D&D stuff here. Wanda's basically a wild mage. I don't know if you remember when they put wild mages in Dungeons & Dragons, but wild mages in Dungeons & Dragons, basically, when you cast a spell, you had to roll on a table to see if that spell you wanted to cast, or if something else happened. And sometimes it could be something way more powerful than even your level could do. And so it could make things go very bad. If you're trying to cast, like, I don't know, detect magic on something and you end up casting, like, explosive fireball instead, wild magic is crazy. So she has powers that she doesn't know how to control. So as far as I can tell, this hex she created wasn't on purpose. It was, like, some kind of grief hex thing that happened.
Oh, yeah, I get that sometimes.
And And this just huge, I don't know, a nexus of magical power attracted this
witch. Nexus people are something else. I fell down that rabbit hole the other day, too.
You said the keyword. I was going to bring it up. Scotty, what do you have to say about nexus?
Nothing. I didn't fall down that rabbit hole far enough. No. Kevin was on a roll. Sorry.
What's nexus? What?
This may explain this. I was just using
nexus as a word meaning a confluence.
But Nexus is actually a Marvel thing, like from the comics.
Oh.
There are Nexus beings that are sort of like ley lines or
attractions
for magical power.
Right.
So you can sense them. But that would explain why Agatha's like, oh, there's I sense a Nexus and it happens to be in Westview, New Jersey.
That's what I think happened.
That's backed by comic book knowledge.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's just me. That's just nerd knowledge.
You nailed it, though. You and your D&D brain.
Yeah, my D&D brain.
And who knew all that knowledge would come in handy at this point in your life?
I always knew it.
That's why I spend so much time studying and reading.
But this leads into what you want to talk about, the origin. This next episode, previously on, which it's probably my favorite episode.
Yes.
Maybe because, I don't know, maybe because it was the most, like, of a Marvel movie episodes.
I believe it.
I mean, it still had, like, wibbly-wobbly magical stuff in it because we have Agatha taking Wanda through her memory. It's kind of like she's doing like therapy, basically. She wants to know why this happened.
Yeah, Tony Stark called this whole experience barf. I mean, it's kind of the same thing.
It's kind of the same thing, but it's magical.
Much more magical in Rind. Right.
Yeah. So Agatha's there. She wants to know how the heck Wanda did this.
Yeah, she wants her power. And where did that power come from?
Yes, so she basically takes her back. And we go through Wanda's whole origin story. And I really liked it. I thought it was cool. Seeing the war-torn, seeing where her love of sitcoms came from. Them watching.
They explained it, yeah.
Yeah, them watching the movies while the world is collapsing around them. Their dad's trying to distract them from the fact that there's a war going on in the front yard.
But also, like, that's Wanda's happy place. Like, she's had a life of grief and destruction and, like, people leaving and people dying, and then she reverts to sitcoms.
Thanks, Tony Stark.
I know. Oh, yeah, the bomb that didn't go off that has Stark Industries on it. Which makes me question how she ever got on the Avengers.
It's always the bomb that doesn't go off that causes the catharsis, isn't it?
It is. I do love what Kevin's saying about, like, they justify the sitcom theme for this show. Like, I thought it was just a cool Marvel, like, here's the novelty. Here's these two characters, but it's backstory. It ties in. Oh, it's perfect.
Yeah, I agree. They definitely brought it together nicely. It all makes sense that that's the way they chose to tell this story, is through the lens of the sitcom, because that, like Kevin said, so instrumental to her father's efforts to shield them from the atrocities going on outside was with. And that's how Wanda hides from her grief.
Yeah.
By falling into sitcoms. And it does a beautiful job of establishing that.
So the irony, too, that I'm thinking, I wonder how she got on the Avengers, the Stark Industries thing. I mean, technically, her boyfriend, husband, whatever Vision is, technically, he's because of Tony Stark, too, sort of. Mostly, yes.
The reason her brother's dead is because of the Avengers and Tony Stark.
Yeah.
It all ties back to that, whether she wants it or not, or acknowledges it or knows about it.
Man, yeah. Wow. I bet you she's glad he's dead.
Like we said, episode 8 is the origin story. I'm with you. This episode was great because who knew we were getting an origin story 8 episodes into a series?
Preach.
For as much as my complaints of the first half, like, I was really curious as where they were going, and I was kind of not sure they knew where they were going, but like you were saying, Marvel planned it all along. And It was Marvel all along. Doo-doo-doo-doo. Oh, wait, no, it isn't the Munster song. No, never mind. But for as much as we know Wanda with her vision in the Avengers movie, in the MCU movies, we only know her middle story. So it's really cool to get the first half of the story, and then in a couple episodes we get the back half of the story and the future for that. But an origin story, 8 episodes in. Good job, Marvel.
And I am absolutely right there with you. Who knew we were getting an origin story? And I really turned around on the whole series, really in the last 2 or 3 episodes. Because at first I was like, I don't know where they're going. Again, I'm in. It's only 9 episodes. I got that much free time.
Yep.
But to bring it back to an origin story and fully flesh out the character. Now she's ascribed her name, the Scarlet Witch. And it was, I think, came together really well, really nicely. Nice little bow that it got tied up with in this whole process. Who knew we were getting the fully now realized, fleshed out, with the thing that she wears on her head. Because who the heck's going to put that thing on her head? Nobody.
This show did.
Magic can do it. Magic put that stuff on her head.
So this was also the episode, too, that left me confused at first. And we find out that she didn't actually steal Vision's body.
That's true.
And that was just all Hayward lying, basically.
Yep.
To Monica Rambeau and Jimmy Woo, the FBI guy, just basically saying, no, she stole it. That's him in there. That she stole, but it wasn't him in there that she stole. So you're like, well, who the heck is that Vision in there? What's going on? And I was so confused. No, I really was. I was so confused. And of course, it pays off in the final episode.
Yep.
But at the time, I'm like, wait, so if she didn't steal Vision, then who is that in there? And I'm like, wait a minute. So then if he's not even real, then the kids are, wait a minute. And I'm like, who are those? Wait, I'm so confused now.
Yeah, and Darcy and Monica Rambeau are finding out about Project Cataract and all that stuff. Yeah. Like, it's like, what is going on?
Yeah, we did get a little glimpse of a whole lot more stuff that I don't think they're going to flesh out. Well, we know they're not going to flesh out, at least at this particular point in time. But
Season 2, maybe.
So much more a tip of the iceberg we did again.
I think Season 2 is going to be a movie that's coming out.
Will it be? Are they transitioning to movie? Is this a one-off? Because I really don't know either way.
As far as I knew from before, this was a one-off. And as far as I can tell, this was just an awesome setup for the Multiverse of Madness movie.
Ah.
I think.
Doctor Strange. There are a bunch of tie-ins to that. Absolutely.
That's what they say. That's what we're being told.
And then we move on to something we just watched again before we started recording, the series finale.
Yes, the finale, episode 9.
Literally called the series finale. The episode is called the series finale.
The series finale.
Which is, I know they gave up the sitcom theme a couple
but
episodes.
But it still is.
It still is.
Sure it is.
It's great. But now we're in the chaos of it. We know that Agnes is now Agatha Harkness. She has the twins in captivity. Like, she's going after Wanda's magic. Vision is not really in the picture. Like, he's sort of gone. He's off trying to figure out what's going on as well in his own B story. But with Agnes, we get, there was an awesome showdown when they were in the basement with the protection spells a couple episodes previous. But now we get Agnes like floating around like, hey, honey, this is going down. I got your twins all tied up. Give me your magic. Tell me what's going on. And as the audience, I'm like, also tell me what's going on.
Well, that's when she says, you're the Scarlet Witch.
Oh, yeah.
And Wanda's like, she's like, I figured it all out. That last episode where I probed your brain, I figured it out. I know who you are now. You're the Scarlet Witch. And she's like, the what now?
So the Scarlet Witch is a thing? Like, I guess it comes from the comic books. This is the first I've heard of it.
It's a thing. It's a thing in the Wicca world of Marvel. Scarlet Witch is a legendary...
Yes, she uses chaos magic.
Okay.
Chaos magic is the opposite of what Doctor Strange and the Sorcerer Supreme use.
Is there a name for the Doctor Strange magic?
Order magic?
Or not chaos magic?
Properly not wild magic.
More mystical arts, I guess.
The mystical arts. Yeah, that rings a bell. So the Scarlet Witch is like just a chaos entity that exists because of the book that we see hints of. It's interesting, but I know nothing about it. So I'm
I feel like every time we have these conversations, I end up issuing the line, you know, this wasn't my corner of the Marvel universe I was ever into, the Scarlet Witch corner, but because she's got a lot of X-Men over ties.
Yes.
Same with her brother Quicksilver. They were, well, whose property they were, it's always confusing, but
yep.
She came from the mutant side of the Marvel universe, and I just never fully understood exactly her backstory, but apparently they're tying her back to Darkhold, which Darkhold is another big Marvel some point. It was a book that had several issues. Heck, I've got several of them in there.
There you go.
There was a series called Rise of Midnight Suns.
Okay.
That had Morbius, which is another Marvel movie we're going to get.
Jared Leto, yeah.
But it's not, it's outside. I haven't quite figured out how it fits in. It's a Marvel movie, but it's not on the regular continuum. I don't know.
It's multiverse.
It's multiverse.
That's the explanation for it all. It's just, it's multiverse. It's a different universe.
It was also Blade came out of the Rise of the Midnight Suns. Night Stalkers were another ones that came out of that series. And Darkhold was the whole part of the Midnight Suns, which I got drawn in because of, well, all the other dumb stuff I read as a kid. Ghost Rider and Punisher and all that stuff.
But Darkhold is the big player. It's the Book of the Damned. It's the thing that created Wanda and what Agnes has been studying and the reason she's in the Hex and all that stuff. It's pretty crazy.
Apparently it's the instruction book for Wanda's kind of magic.
There you go.
Whereas Doctor Strange, he's got like a whole library of stuff.
Isn't there an Avenger scene where he notices something is like a book is missing?
Yeah, it's the book that the guy stole. It's not the Darkhold.
It isn't?
No, it's the book the guy... There's pages in one of the books missing.
Okay, I thought I had a smart moment.
I thought I had a smart moment.
I was so excited.
Mikey, if you ever need anyone to take away your smart moments, you let me know.
That's fine.
I thought I had a smart moment.
Oh, I blame the internet for making me dumb. Speaking
of smart moment in the internet, I'm looking at this note on the wiki for this, and it says, the series finale is the 9th and final episode of the WandaVision, as well as the series finale.
Oh, so it's the end of all of it.
But it's just funny that the series finale is the name of the episode, and then they're like, as well as the series. Yeah.
It's sitcom. They're still playing on it.
It's so crazy. Anyway.
If I ever have a TV show, that's what I'm naming it that.
Speaking of sitcom lines and sitcom silliness, Agnes has the silly sitcom line because... In the finale, it starts off, now we have Agatha Harkness, I guess is her new name now. We have Agatha Harkness versus Wanda, and then Vision comes back, but also White Vision is there. And Agatha's like, uh-oh, your exes and your boyfriend are here at the same party. What's going to happen? That's so like Wonder Years. That's sitcom.
You know,
Oh, you got a Kevin Jordle.
We find out that Sword has rebuilt Vision.
Yeah.
Without the Mind Stone. And I don't know how that works, but I guess it works. Well, I guess it works because, I mean, he's just Jarvis, basically, right?
But also, like, the whole, like, storyline we were talking about where Hayward sends a drone in to take out Wanda. There's a cool scene where Wanda drags the drone back out, and she's like, you can't do this to me. This is my world. This is my house. And throws the drone down, but it's still enhanced with hex magic. And that was the final piece that Hayward was missing.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, we've rebuilt Vision, but it doesn't work. Like, we've cut him apart. You saw him in the lab. They're pulling apart all his wires, but, like, we're missing the key ingredient. Turns out it was Wanda's chaos hex magic, and they took it from the drone, put it in white Vision, and boop, 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 Windows 95 sound, computer online.
Any reboots.
How did they do that, though? That's the interesting thing to me. How do you pull out hex magic from a thing and stick it in? I don't know.
It works on the same logic that Vision exists because he's a computer that happens to have an Infinity Stone in him. How does that work? Same reason Cataract works, white Vision. They called it Project Cataract. That's so silly, but on the nose. It's a white version of your Vision. That's what a cataract is.
Thank you, Mikey. I was struggling with how white Vision is cataract, but not anymore.
Nope. That's why he's white Vision.
So, okay, now we have to address something that happened in this episode that has the internet angry.
Yes, let's go.
So we were all wondering, oh, look, they are using the Quicksilver from the other universe.
Yes.
So this is the Quicksilver from the other universe. They're crossing over universes.
Multiverse.
Multiverse is happening. And then we find out that he's just the neighbor guy who's named Boner.
Ralph Boner.
Ralph Boner. And then, like, they make a Boner joke, and then the internet's very angry because I've seen so many memes where they're like, we went 9 episodes to get a Boner joke. And I've seen so many memes and so many different versions of them.
I get it.
And the internet is upset. So what is your guys? Are you upset about the Boner joke? Or do you think that, once again, the internet raised expectations too much?
I think a fan being upset by anything that ever appears in any TV show is stupid. No, they tell the story they want to tell. I thought it was pretty hilarious.
It was pretty funny. 2 points to it, though. The Boner name is a reference to Growing Pains, so that's more sitcom.
Right? Eric's the Bone.
Yeah, see, it's Boner. Like they
was it though?
That's a direct.
I didn't get that at all. I remember, yeah, Kurt Cameron's character had his best friend was
Boner,
Eddie Stabone, Boner, called
Boner. And Ralph Boner is Quicksilver. I think that's an intentional nod to Growing Pains on the sitcom front.
I want to say there's some other tie. There's another Ralph Boner.
A family tie? No.
<Da-na-na-na>.
There may.
Thanks,
be.
Kevin. I appreciate the courtesy laughter.
No, I'm genuinely laughing.
I didn't get that at all. I didn't get that was a reference to the Growing Pains best friend Boner.
As far as the beat goes, I think that's what they were shooting for. I could be wrong. The internet could be mad at me as well.
But. I'm gonna Google box that some more and see if I can figure that out. I swear there's some other Marvel significant tie-in to that name. I don't know what it is, though.
Well, there's the old Joker comics, Batman comics, where he's like, they said I'm a boner. I'll show you a boner. But that was back in the 60s when boner meant, like, mistake and mess up. It's like, I didn't make a mistake.
Kevin, did he just bring DC into this Marvel conversation?
Yeah, he did.
I'm an all-around nerd. I apologize. So I'll get to my next point, which is...
God.
Well, but did you think the Boner thing was dumb or not?
I loved it. I immediately took it for Growing Pains, so I was all on board with it. I thought it was a great beat.
Oh. I'm halfway sort of with the internet.
Okay.
You didn't like it?
Well, I mean, I get what they're doing, and like you said, it's their story, so I'm fine with it. I just was.
You're not going to be upset about it.
No, I'm not going to be upset about it, but I was just kind of like, aw, man, I was hoping that he actually was Quicksilver from another universe.
When he first showed up in that first episode, I was like, oh my gosh, that's the guy from Days of Future Past. Wasn't that the one he was in?
Yeah,
Days
yeah.
of Future Past?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I get it, but I just thought they were doing something crazy. And we're going to get that kind of multiverse stuff happening. Because we talked about it, like we talked about it the last episode. I thought it was like going to be an awesome, the multiverse is an awesome way to keep these stories going on forever.
Yes.
And like I said in the last episode, mm-hmm. like our Nerd Alerts episode, where you can literally like drag in a superhero from another universe who's the same superhero, and then the original one can retire, and then you have the new one, and no one complains about it because it's the same one.
Or have different actors play the same role, and it's just like,
so, yeah. See, if you didn't listen to the last episode, and why didn't you? But, you know, you have, like, Tobey Maguire, right? And then Andrew Garfield and everyone, and then you go to Tom Holland. Everyone's like, this one's better, that one's better, this one, because this one and that. And that, well, what if you had a multiverse thing where all of a sudden Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man is in the same movie for a little bit as Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man, right? And then he takes over. And then, oh, here comes the Tom Holland
one. We should do that movie as a cartoon.
So, yeah, Into the Spider-Verse. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I get it.
But put a pig in there.
But I'm just saying it's a way to keep going because some of these actors, other than Paul Bettany, apparently get tired of playing the same guy forever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you could have Iron Man back that way.
I'm with you that would be a cool narrative plot device or thematic element. That's absolutely the way you could do it, especially how it relates to comic books. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And there's still rumors that we might get that for the next Spider-Man movie.
I hope so. But I don't want. I'm scared, though. Now I'm scared I'm going to be disappointed with that, too.
But maybe they're saving it for that. It is a disappointing that we thought it was going to happen for WandaVision, but it didn't. Yeah. I get it.
But I'm not so mad I'm going to make memes about it. Because be careful, MCU fans. You're falling into Star Wars land where people start getting mad because they expected such and such to happen in the Star Wars.
The internet.
How dare you not deliver on my expectations for what I thought should happen?
Why didn't you make it the way I wanted it?
Yes.
You bunch of jerks.
But surprise me. Still make it original.
Yes.
But make it the way I want it.
What do you want? Make up your mind, nerds.
I'm writing a strongly worded email.
Why didn't Mephisto show up this entire season? We've been speculating for 8 episodes and Mephisto never showed up.
Worst movie ever.
Worst MCU series ever. Just because of Boner. What a lame joke.
One final pin on the Ralph Boner thing that I think, I know.
It
I
is
know.
Really funny, though.
See?
Ralph Boner's a hilarious name.
Perfect.
Absolutely.
Sitcom.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Also, Marvel planned ahead. They were doing this from the start. Every time Agnes talks about her husband, oh, my husband Ralph, he's such a pain in the butt. Oh, I got to keep my husband Ralph under control. Oh, I got to send my husband Ralph on errands. She's talking about Ralph Boner.
Yeah.
And taking over the Hex.
Yeah, she put on some kind of magical necklace on him to control him.
Just like the bugs in the basement that she was doing. That's part of her witch magic. It's all justified, so I'm with you that multiverse would have been a cool explanation, but they actually had logic and explanation behind it, and I'm kind of down with it.
Yes.
Besides, I'm pretty sure if they wanted to pay that guy some more money, they would. He would do it.
They brought him back from the dead. I think that's house money at that point.
Well, I mean, technically, we've so tangented on this. The series finale is like the biggest battle of the thing we're talking all about Ralph Boner. But just to put I'm taking your pin out and then repinning it.
Let's go.
They could technically, because Monica Rambeau got powers by going through the Hex.
Yes.
There's a chance that this Boner guy could keep his Quicksilver powers in some weird way and then become Quicksilver. It's reasonable.
That is a logic they could follow. Yeah.
Yes. There's that suddenly like this guy, I'm still super fast, even though that lady left.
It would have worked out. But instead, he was just possessed by Agatha Harkness.
Yeah, but he could still be. That's what I'm saying. The powers could stick. That's what I'm saying.
Oh.
Like how Monica Rambeau's powers stuck.
See, I think we still have a lot to learn about Monica Rambeau and what happened to her.
Mm-hmm.
But with Monica Rambeau and her B-team, we get Jimmy Woo in a scene where he's using sleight of hand and more magic to get one off across Hayward, and he summons his guys to come in to help with the final battle in the finale. So it's not just the bad guys of S.W.O.R.D. Now it's Jimmy Woo and his team. They're showing up, and that's all because Wanda and Agnes are going at it. Agnes has cut the strings of the town people, and they're coming alive, and they're like, Wanda, what did you do to me? I have nightmares, and your magic is chaotic. Dun, dun, dun.
So we said this very briefly earlier, but this is kind of what I want to get to. Where does Wanda Maximoff, Scarlet Witch, go from here? She's done something kind of bad.
That's one of the interesting concepts.
Commandeered the minds and at a certain level tortured these people for however many weeks.
Is she a bad guy?
Do
is she
you
a good guy?
Get to walk away from that as consequence free?
she was grieving. She didn't know really what she was doing. It's an interesting sort of character arc, because is she a good guy? Is she a bad guy?
How is this going to play back to the Sokovia Accords? Because the Sokovia Accords, as this series very much brought back into play, they're still very much a thing. And the whole Civil War kind of injunction, because Scarlet Witch was Team Cap, right?
Yeah, but what are the Accords? Like, superheroes can't mess with humans?
Superheroes have to follow orders, and superheroes have to do what we tell them to do.
Ah.
Superheroes don't get to run wild and do whatever they want to.
And make towns in Westfield,
and
New Jersey.
And make towns in Westfield, New Jersey. That's right.
That's why I think that this is going to move on to something in the movies, or was planned to. I know pre-COVID, like now post-COVID, it's like everything's kind of the same because people don't go to the movies. But I think initially this was planned, like some of stuff was going to be on TV and some stuff was going to be in the movies. But the Sokovia Accords and what Wanda did, that seems like something you would address in film more than you would in the show, because it affects all of the superheroes.
So you think the ramifications of WandaVision are going to ripple through?
I do.
All the movies and everything to come.
I do. And we've been led to believe, and I don't know where we get this. I don't know if we just hear it on the internet wins or if anyone in MCU said it, but we've been led to believe that this ties into the Multiverse of Madness movie somehow.
Yes.
And to me, that somehow is, since they mentioned, by the way, in this, that she's more powerful than the Sorcerer Supreme, who we know is now
Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange.
And previously Tilda Swinton.
And now there's a Doctor Strange movie coming out. It would seem to make sense that Doctor Strange would get word of what happened and be aware of what happened. And is the Multiverse of Madness, is Wanda going to be involved in are we going to have one of those classic, like, are you a bad guy? Are you a good guy?
Hope that's where they're going with that.
Yeah.
Because she did something really bad.
She did.
I think there's taking over a town and torturing people for weeks at a time. Yeah. Is she going to be on that line between villain and hero?
That's what I'm saying. It seems like something that would be addressed in a movie, and not, because you need the other high level supers to be involved in that. And these shows seem to be just kind of the one.
And centralized on these.
Yeah, and centralized on the one. So it seems like this is going to that. But we've buried the lead that they have. There's a big giant battle between Agatha and Wanda. And then there's the big giant battle between White Vision, Cataract Vision.
Cataract Vision.
And
Technicolor Vision.
Technicolor Vision. Yeah, I guess something like that. And we get and that's basically the whole crux of this thing.
Yes.
Is just the battle between the two witches and the two visions.
The two robots. And as cool as the fight looked, like, they take the disguise, they're shooting lasers at each other. It looks like the old Marvel versus Capcom video games. It was great CGI. But the fight boils down to two computers trying to outlogic each other. It's like, are you familiar with the Ship of Theseus paradox? If you destroy a ship and rebuild it with different parts, is it still the same ship? And Vision's like, I'm supposed to kill Vision, but you're a conditional Vision and not the real Vision. But also, you can make me the real Vision. What is going on?
By touching my face and taking off the blinders.
I've heard it as like I've also heard it as the broom paradox.
Yeah, yeah. The axe paradox.
Yeah, the axe too, the axe paradox.
You replace one part of it. And then you replace the other part of it, and soon all the parts that of the original one have been replaced, but it's still the same axe you've been using, or broom.
Or is it?
But here's the weird part. We do get the scene where what Scotty's saying is that Technicolor Vision takes the blinders off, or downloads all of his information into new White Vision, which...
And he goes from microchip eyes to human, to Paul Bettany eyes.
Yeah. Oh, Paul Bettany. We haven't given any actors a shout out about this whole series, but all these actors are amazing. Paul Bettany being at the
top.
How
many times did you get lost in Paul Bettany's eyes?
Oh. Vision's back, baby!
Vision's back! But here's the weird part about Vision touching Vision and downloading all the information. So Vision, as the Technicolor Vision, as he exists in the Hex, is a creation of Wanda based on their shared Mind Stone. Like, there's leftover piece of the Mind Stone in her, and she uses that to make Vision in her dream world.
Yes.
The magic she created in her dream world now affects a real world Vision that was created separate from her, and it impacts it and makes Vision again, that's chaotic. Like, it doesn't...
Well, it is chaos magic. But also, oh, too, but he alludes to the fact that they couldn't have erased his memory all the way.
Oh, that's true.
So he basically takes off the firewalls.
I get
is what he does. And puts a little bit of that, what do you want to call it?
Mind stone
mojo in there, I guess.
Mind stone dust.
Yeah.
I like mind stone mojo. It's got good alliteration. We're a fan of alliteration on the podcast.
So does she literally have a piece of the mind stone in her? Like when it's shattered, did she?
Because of the origin story we got, we saw her in the facility where she touches it and the camera didn't capture it because the people watching the camera didn't see anything happen, but she saw her costume. She saw herself as the Scarlet Witch in the future.
Right.
She saw the yellow colors of Vision.
Well, I guess it's the same thing that happened to Captain Marvel. There's the exposure to it can like give you, imbue its powers upon you.
There you go.
You don't actually really need. I think it was her saying, I have a piece of it is like that kind of piece.
And it just.
Not an actual piece.
Yeah. She has the powers of it.
Yeah. I was just thinking, because didn't it like break at one point and then they had to rewind it and then it didn't?
Yeah, Thanos all rewound it in Infinity War.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. So I was just wondering.
But you put it all back together.
Yeah. I was just wondering if like a piece lodged in her and didn't get sucked back or something. I don't know. I'm being too literal. Sorry.
Either way could happen. I mean, we're talking Marvel. Either way could happen.
Yeah.
But White Vision, newly downloaded with his human eyes, takes off through the ceiling. My hot bet is that he's the one that's going to go make contact with Doctor Strange in the movie because Vision still doesn't know what he is. And now New Vision really doesn't know what he is. He needs a new directive. He's filled with chaos, magic, and Mind Stone. I think that may be the tie into the multiverse.
Oh, that'd be kind of cool.
Because he busts through the ceiling when he didn't need to. Made such a dramatic exit. It was so funny that fight just boiled down to two computers like out-logicking each other. It's like, nope, conditionally, it's this. Variably, it's this.
But the question that you raised is a good one. Why does he break the glass?
He could phase through it.
Why doesn't he just phase through the glass when he leaves?
They just showed that in the fight like 10 minutes ago.
Is he just one to trash the place?
It's a dramatic exit. He's taking Paul Bettany's flair. He's learning from it.
What a jerk.
What a jerk.
I mean, they already shot head laser beams all over, burned everything up. No, you got to break the skylight out too?
What's a few windows? He's a robot. He's a computer. He doesn't care. He's a sentient being, but he doesn't. Can he feel? Do robots love? Do robots care for windows? But after Vision leaves, we do cut back to Monica Rambeau and family team up. Now we're back to Agnes versus Wanda, but real Vision is there. Billy and Tommy are there. And Monica Rambeau's there, and Monica Rambeau now has her photon spectrum powers versus the sword, and they're shooting bullets, but...
She can absorb bullets. Redirect them.
She can, and now Wanda's twins are there, and they have powers. They're Wiccan and Speed, which comes from the comic books as well, and they're doing the Matrix Neo stopping bullets thing. But we do get while the family's teaming up on the ground with Monica Rambeau, Wanda and Agnes, it seems like Agnes is going to win because Wanda's throwing all this magic through the sky.
All kinds of chaos magic at her.
She's throwing magic missiles.
Yeah, she's like, take it. I don't want it. Take it.
Take my power. Because, like, I can't take down the Hex without destroying my family. So she's at a crossroads. She's just trying to fight for her life and for her family and also trying to free the people that she enslaved. She's in a chaotic world. I guess that's sort of the point.
Yeah, she accidentally. This is where she kind of comes out and talking with Agatha that, oh, I didn't do any of this on purpose, but you know what you're doing. So you're mean. And I'm not trying to be mean over here.
Yes.
I don't know what's going on. And then she's kind of like, well, I can make it better. Just give me all your powers. And then she's like, take them, I don't want them.
But then we get the twist. Oh, they referenced it in the fight in the basement. It's protection runes.
She put the runes up in the thing.
Did you say ruins?
Ruins.
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 Protection runes.
Whip.
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 Cool ruins. Whip.
Whip.
Protection cool whip. Runes.
Ruins.
Ruins.
No, runes, not ruins. R-U-N-E-S.
I think this is a pretty good bit, but Mike, you need to take out 45 for 50%.
Nope.
This is staying in.
Nope, it's staying in.
But ruins.
Now, but now we've said the word runes like 80 times, and I don't know if I'm saying it right or wrong.
Okay. Yes.
So, but But I'll go back to my point. It was so cool that they foreshadowed that and they brought it back. And that's how Wanda overcomes Agnes with the protection spells that she cast into the hex.
Yeah, so she's learning.
She is. She's fulfilling her role as the Scarlet Witch.
And I think if I'm not mistaken, as she is taking, you know, the magic missile shots at Agatha, she misses and it
on purpose
hits the walls. I didn't catch that till the second time when we watched it again tonight. I was like, oh, she's putting the runes up there.
Yeah.
And then she gives
Graffiti.
And then she gives Agatha the ultimate punishment, which happens to Loki and a whole bunch of Marvel characters. It's like, I'm not going to kill you because I'm not a bad guy. Heroes don't hurt people or whatever Agatha says. She's like, you get to live here now forever.
As the character you chose.
Hokey dokey, artichoke. That's such a cool ending and a cool resolution to a bad guy, but it's Marvel, and I know they're just setting it up for Agatha to come back. Like, that means Agatha's still in the game at some point.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Now, at the end of this, we have Director Hayward getting arrested.
After he gets crashed into by Darcy Lewis.
Yeah.
Great return.
Well, that was cool, too. You know what? See, Marvel thinks of everything. I want to get mad at them, and then they thought of it. They're the best nerds ever, because she crashes, like, whatever that, like, it was like a ice cream truck or whatever the heck that thing was, like a minibus.
Yeah, some taco vans.
Well, yeah, before it got hexinated, it was...
Yeah, that's what I say. She crashes it into a Hummer, and I was like, that thing would break into a million pieces if it hits a Hummer, and then it gets unhexed.
Unhexed.
And it's this big, giant...
Armored SWAT
and
truck.
I was like, oh, that would wreck a Hummer. I'm like, never mind.
It all makes sense. Sorry, Marvel. I didn't mean to doubt you.
Sorry, Marvel. I didn't mean to push up my glasses. Hey, wait a minute. Oh.
That wasn't my expectation, but I loved it. Thanks,
man. I saw the internet say this, and I agree with them. The Jimmy Woo character, that should have been Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That would have been so much better. Then, you know, that guy's awesome. He's just such an awesome character, and just
He's more comic relief than
But you can give him his own team.
Story driving.
He's just as charismatic as an Agent Coulson or something like that.
That's bold, sir. That's bold. I don't know if I can.
He pulled off his handcuffs with a safety pin. And he stole Vision's line where he said "flourish." And then he confirmed his bluff. He told Hayward, "Is like, there's going to be people to help me here within the hour." And then he's in the barn on his phone. He's like, can you get here within the hour?
Yeah, man, it's great. It's great.
And you want 5 seasons of that.
I don't know. I just want more.
Season.
I just want more Jimmy Woo.
Yeah, more Jimmy Woo. That's all we're saying.
I can get down with more Jimmy Woo. I don't know if he's a Coulson, though.
Okay, well, whatever.
You can have him just be the Scooby team. Darcy Lewis, Jimmy Woo.
Oh, yeah, Rambo. That'd be great.
Yeah, maybe they get their series and Rambo's the head, but
I would be in for that.
I'd be in for that too. And speaking of Monica Rambeau, we get that thing at the end where they need you in the movie theater.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, all right, I'll just follow this random lady who is her aerospace engineer. This is where the tie-in comes in. And the lady's like, oh, you need to come see me. Let's meet in the movie theater. But also, I'm a Skrull. What? They came back. When's the last time we saw Skrulls? Like Avengers?
Far From Home.
It was Far From Home. That's right.
Yeah. That's right. Nerds, y'all missed it on your last episode. That was the end of Far From Home.
Yeah.
Where Nick Fury is on the Skrull ship. We think it's a Skrull ship.
At the beach.
We don't know.
At the beach.
At the beach.
That's but not right. The beach.
But it's not.
Yeah, it's like who, where is he? And like, up there. And we're like, I know where up there is. I saw that Spider-Man movie.
I know. It's Nick Fury. But, like, we didn't get the multiverse, we didn't get Mephisto, but we did get Scarlet Witch coming into her powers, and we do get, it's tying in with other aspects of this universe. Like, Nick Fury is going to come into play at some point, maybe with the Doctor Strange thing, maybe with more WandaVision stuff, who knows, but Skrulls are now part of it. They're tying it all together. It's crazy.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too, is that I know I said I think this is only one season, because that's what I thought I was sold, but then at the end of it, we get the final scene.
Yep.
Where Wanda is astral projecting herself, reading
Darkhold.
Reading Darkhold. And then she hears her kids going, help, mama, help. Her not real kids?
Her not real kids. She made them with magic. And they disappeared because she ended up with this episode. She had to take the hex down. She decided to give up, you know, the whole fantasy she created. Being a good guy, one could assume, trying to correct her mistakes, but... Knowing that, she did that, and her twins went bye-bye, and she was happy that they chose her to be her mom, but why is she hearing her voices?
Yes.
Where are they coming from?
I guess we kind of glossed over the part that made Kevin Smith cry and put pictures of himself on Instagram with red eyes. And it's the whole, like, Wanda had to give up her family yep. that she had magically made and said sweet things to the imaginary vision. See, I guess that's the thing that, I mean, yes, it was sweet, I understand. And Kevin Smith, no offense, you can cry over stuff if you're touched by it. I'm not belittling you for that, but none of it was real, so it didn't really... I was all in her imagination. Sort of, but not really. But it was real, but it wasn't real. I don't know. I'm kind of confused still. I watched the whole thing.
Are you crying right now?
No, I'm not crying. I watched the whole thing, and I understand what happened, but I'm also kind of... I'm still kind of like, were they real? Are they real? But then when the kid... At the end, then the kids are asking for help, and it's like, wait, they're not real, but they are real. What's happening? I'm confused. Is this another season? Is this going to be in a movie? What's going on? Can you stop, Marvel? Why do you do this to me? They always do this to us, those teaser things at the end. They always do this to us.
I do know that the twins, Wanda's twins and children, do exist in multiple times throughout Marvel comic history. So there are a couple explanations of why they could still exist. But
is this where we get the multiverse stuff? What if they're just in? What if she sucked them through from another universe so they are real?
And they're chaos magic. So
now you're getting your inner comic book going. That's all it takes.
But to your first point, I do want to say props to Marvel for making you care and be engaged with and have compassion for things that are fake. Like, it's magic. Like you're saying, the twins are magic. Vision is magic and Infinity Stone. Like, this is all Wanda's creation, but we're still sad to see it go.
Yeah.
Like, that's great.
It's an illusion.
But illusion I care about. Like, I was sad to see it go.
I'm fooling you and you don't like it.
I'm with Kevin Smith. I shed a tear.
Did you?
I did not.
You bunch of hard-hearted nerds, come on.
I wrote a sternly worded email.
All right, so are we going to give pizza ratings to this thing?
We can. Guess you'd go first.
Yeah. Yeah? Yeah, guess you'd go first. Okay, not Scott. Out of 8 slices of pizza, how many slices do you give WandaVision the series?
I want you to guess. How many pieces of pizza have I given all things that are awesome?
2 slices.
8. It will get 8 slices of pepperoni lovers.
Okay.
Oh, pepperoni lovers.
There you go.
Love me some pepperonis. Make it an 8 slice.
And you would order it again? You would watch the show again?
I absolutely. In fact, I want to get to it again and watch it again. You guys know I was a doubter at the very beginning. And like I told you guys, hey, I trust Marvel. I know they can tell a good story. But by the end of 3 episodes, we were, you know, almost an hour and 20, hour 15 in, and we still had no idea what the hell was going on.
Yep.
But it absolutely brought it around and delivered on a great ending. 8 slices. Big fan. Loved every bit of it.
I dig it.
Mikey.
Okay. So based on our previous chat about this, when we were doing the first 4 episodes, it took me a while to get on board. I was kind of with Scotty. It's like, where is this going? What are they doing? Like we were saying previously in this episode, my nerd expectations got ahead of me. So I was kind of like, why aren't they doing it how I picture them doing it in my mind? Why are they doing it wrong? It's like, oh, I'm sorry. I doubted you, Marvel. You knew what you were doing the whole time. The back half of this totally picked it up for me. But because I have to take a slice away, so it's 7 out of 8 slices for me, but that slice comes away just because they did take advantage of the TV format and the serialness of it, and they had more time to tell a story, but it took too long. I was like, come on. Episode 6 onward was great, but episode 1 through 5 were like, I have so many questions. What's happening? So took me a while to get on board. 7 out of 8 slices. I would watch it again, and I give Marvel my thumbs up.
Kevin.
Okay, so I always like to go last because I take into account I can be swayed. I can be influenced.
As has been noted.
As has been noted. But I'm kind of sticking to what I was saying even before because I'm right there with Mikey. I'm going to go 7 out of 8 slices of pizza, mainly because it was great. I would eat almost all this pizza, but there's still stuff in there that wasn't my favoriteest thing ever. I can't really put the points on everything.
Yeah.
I guess it's some of the stuff I talked about.
Didn't have enough Brie Larson.
So, oh, well.
That would always add a slice.
But, I mean, you know, there's the missed opportunity with the boner thing. I get it. I would have liked to seen an actual thing. But they could still redeem that. Like I said, I gave them a way to redeem it.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, it didn't have me grabbed through the whole thing, kind of like you, Mikey. It was, there was a lot of like, okay, I can tell we're getting somewhere. I can tell we're getting somewhere. I'm going to keep giving it a chance. I trust you. But yeah, get there quicker. But yeah, it was good. Like we said, the last episodes were great. So
definitely, it definitely crescendoed.
It did.
Absolutely. And to be fair, other than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., this is really the first Marvel TV show we've encountered. So we didn't really know how Marvel did TV. And if this is how they're going to do it, I'm on board. Maybe get there a little quicker.
There's a whole lot more Marvel TV coming very soon.
For the rest of the year.
I know. Like next week, we get Falcon and Winter Soldier.
We talked about it a couple episodes back, but Marvel's releasing something every week for the rest of the year.
More like every month. I don't know if it's every week, but every month.
Go back and listen to the episode. I justified it. There's a chart on the internet.
Yeah,
I'm
there's
not
a spreadsheet.
Wrong.
It's every week. All right. So our calzones are here because we ordered calzones and not pizzas.
Ooh, it's a calzone night.
It is a calzone night. Let us know. Did you guys love this as much as Scott and 8 out of 8? Did you just like it tons like we did and give us that? Night? That's a good rating, by the way.
Yes.
Or did you think this was like the worst thing that Marvel's ever done and give it a horrible 1, 2, 3 out of 8?
I'd be super interested to hear about that.
Yeah. If you want to tell us, please do. You can hit us up on all our social medias at Assuming Pod, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Instagram mostly. You can also send us a Gmail or an electronic mail.
Electronic mail? I got the letter opener. You don't need it.
assumingpositions@gmail.com. Mikey, what do you want them? What style do you want them to write in this time?
Write like you're writing a missive from an alternate universe. You're trying to communicate with the multiverse that's next to yours.
Oh, nice.
I want an email that starts with, Corvin and Mark, I love your Assuming Politics podcast. I listen to it every day. And we're like, is this from a multiverse? Is this from an alternate dimension? Are you a Skrull? That's the kind of emails I want.
Okay. That was very specific. So we want to thank you guys so much for listening. We especially want to thank Not Scott for being on the show.
Woo! Yeah.
As part of the incident. And also for the equipment. We always thank you for the equipment.
It's nice equipment.
Yes. Thank you for that. We want to thank that guy, Brad, for doing our announcing, Jazzar for doing our music, and we hope you guys have a great rest of your week, a magical rest of your week, and hopefully not too chaotic magic.
Ooh, don't get hexed. WandaVision.
Hex you.
Hex you too.
Dun, 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 dun. WandaVision!
WandaVision!
Dun, 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 dun. WandaVision!
Na-na-na-na.
Crazy.